What's up, everybody? Welcome back, Red Zone Sports here. We are here to break down a little bit and talk through kind of this three-game Saturday slate.
What's up, everybody?
Whoa. We got a little feedback here. Sorry about that. We are going to talk about the three-game Saturday slate. Not sure what's going on there. As Joey and Jim covered Sunday's main slate here. Talking through it a little bit, we have Minnesota at Cincinnati. We've got Pittsburgh at Indianapolis and Denver at Detroit. So kind of a pretty cool little three-gamer. I tend to really love these three-game slates. I think it's very easy to, you know, lock in on a player pool, get a little bit weird, get a little bit different. And even if you don't want to get weird with your player pool, right, I think it's a very straightforward way just to build differently. A lot of people, you notice, you know, have been struggling all year in terms of like bigger slates, larger slates, seem to do pretty well on these small ones because the way they think about game theory and the way they think about the slate overall tends to work out for these smaller slates. So have some fun. Obviously, don't burn your entire bankroll. We got a few more of these shorter slates coming up in addition to the last few weeks of the regular season. So before we kind of jump into it, please hit that like button. Please subscribe here if you haven't already to the channel. Helps a ton, and we really appreciate it. So I think the one thing that kind of jumps out, for me at least, is I think there's a pretty good distinction of getting weird and getting different in terms of a tournament play. And then I think there's some really solid cash game, players you can look to. The consistent guys who are just going to kind of get you there. Mainly Russell Wilson, I think, is the guy who jumps out to me. If you're playing cash games on this three-gamer, I think that's the guy you want to look to. I think if you're going towards GPPs, tournaments, let's be honest, three-game slate, everybody's in play here. But I'm going to look at it from a different point of view. Going through kind of my player pool, I'm not going to be on Jared Goff this week. I think that's kind of leaning right now to be what is looking like the chalk a little bit. I think Goff and Browning are going to be the two most popular quarterbacks probably on the slate. And I just don't know if that's where I want to go. I think Denver's defense has been really good lately. It's not something I really want to mess with. Now, Goff is a lot better at home, so I totally understand that point of view. But it's not going to be for me, man. Detroit is kind of reeling. Denver is kind of absolutely – I mean, they're trying to catch Kansas City. I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, they've been playing a lot better than most of these teams here. So I'm not going to be playing Jared Goff this week. I think there's other guys that can definitely match him in terms of – let's say upside, and I think can get there at a much cheaper price. I know 6,500 isn't going to kill anybody, but for me, not really my cup of tea, I would say. So if we're looking at here, let me just kind of go through ownership as well. Jared Goff projected to be the highest owned player on Saturday at the quarterback position at 23%. Russell Wilson, number two. I just gave you my thoughts and feelings on that. Russell Wilson's fine. But for me, I'm trying to win a tournament, right? And I'm trying to win a GPP. I do think there's something to be said at 6K to have some consistency at that position. But Russell Wilson now has scored 20 points twice in this season. One was against Chicago earlier this year, and then a massive shootout against Washington in week two. Outside of that, man, he has been very even keeled, 17, 18 points. I just don't think we hit ceiling here for Russ. So maybe we do. If you want to go that way, that's fine. But I'm more than happy to fade kind of the chalk and go get a little bit different. And I think that kind of leads me to Gardner Minshew, Nick Mullins, and Jake Browning. I'm really not going to be playing Mitch Trubisky, although the one thing that was kind of nice about him last week is he runs the ball. So you get upside there. If he can pop one on the ground in, I mean, you're in business. Because, again, I don't think Goff and Russell Wilson are necessarily going to pull away here from the pride, I guess. So I'm fine with these other four guys. I will absolutely have stacks with Minshew, Nick Mullins, Trubisky, and Jake Browning. I think I'm full fading Goff and Russ here. And that's a way that I'm going to immediately get rid of, you know, or get different from 40% of the field, 45% of the field in these tournament builds. So Moving on to running back here, I think Zach Moss, once again, coming in at 54-55% ownership. If I'm playing three lineups, I'll probably have one, but I think that's kind of the extent of what I'm going to do. I think it's very difficult this week. He keeps going up in price, and he has been very awful. So, yes, he is getting the workload. He's getting the touches, although, you know, I know game flow changed things last week a little bit. But, man, he's been so inefficient and bad with his touches the last couple weeks. You know, I know Ezekiel Elliott just tore these guys up, Pittsburgh, but I just don't know. It's like, what's the upside here for Zach Moss, and does he get there? Maybe. Maybe he does. I don't know. Hopefully. But I just don't think that you have to go to Zach Moss. You know, I guess that's my way of saying it. Like, the last couple of weeks, all you hear around the industry is, God, his workload's too insane, his touches are too insane, you have to play this guy. I don't know if you do. I think there's guys that are going to get the same, you know, touches in good situations and have just as much, if not more, upside. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is just as explosive at 6,700. Again, I know you're paying it, but Zach Moss's price is creeping up there. He's at 6,200 now. If Zach Moss is still 4,800, 4,900, yeah, I would tell you to probably lock Zach Moss, but $200 less than David Montgomery, $400 less than Joe Mixon, who, let's see, had 21 touches or 21 carries and four catches last week, and then 19 carries and six catches 2 weeks ago. Dude, Joe Mixon's getting more volume than Zach Moss. So, and he's a better player. So I just don't understand, like, kind of where this is coming from here. Again, if Zach Moss is going to be 55% of the field, dude, he may be a fade. Or like I said, at the very most, maybe one out of three, one out of four lineups here. But I do not love the Zach Moss play whatsoever. Jahmyr Gibbs, 41, 42% ownership. I kind of see it. He's explosive. He's a game breaker. We've seen him do that. David Montgomery at 30%. Javonte, I do have some interest in, coming in at 24, 25%. I think this is the way Denver wants to play, very obviously. They do not want to let Russell Wilson throw the ball 50 times. They have their formula. It is control the ball, control the clock, play good defense, get out of there with a win. So I think that's what Denver is going to try to do, which obviously leads me to Javonte being a pretty good play. But Joe Mixon at 19, 20% ownership, I think is an absolute steal on this slate, personally. Ty Chandler is getting about 25% ownership, which is interesting. Madison has been ruled out. I don't mind that. Again, I think the price is right. So at 5,300, yeah, I could see you doing it. No problem at all there. Jaylen Warren, 27%. Najee at 17. Man, Pittsburgh just cannot get it going here. Probably not for me. If I'm going to do it, I'm just going to take the lesser owned guy at this point. I know everyone loves Jaylen Warren and, you know, wants to build a statue for him out in Pittsburgh, but not for me. I do not think he is that great of a player based on what everybody else thinks. So kind of ranking these guys again, I think Mixon's my favorite. Javonte's number two. I like both Lions guys, Gibbs and Montgomery. That's probably 3-4 for me. And then I think if you want to go down to either Chandler or the Pittsburgh guys, that's probably how I would rank them for me on this slate. Moving to receiver now. Let's do it. Highest owned receiver, finally, rightfully so, from what I can tell. Michael Pittman Jr. at 41, 42%. He has been the clear best receiver on this slate for sure all season long. Amon-Ra St. Brown, number two, 39%. Man, I don't really know what to do with St. Brown. He is obviously a fantastic talent. He is still getting, you know, the target share, 9, 6, 11, 11, 9. But he obviously goes with Jared Goff, and Goff's not been good for the most part. And, I mean, 3 catches on 9 targets last week, 2 catches and 6 targets 2 weeks ago. I mean, at 7,900, like, that's a very tough sell if that's what he's going to be. So I think he could get there. I think he could play him. I'll probably have a little bit, but he's not one of my favorite plays. I think if I'm going to look at it, again, from an ownership perspective, St. Brown at 40%, or you could pay $200 more and get Justin Jefferson at 18%, I think I'm going to take Justin Jefferson. So Again, I'm just going to play it a little bit weird on this three-game slate, guys. Justin Jefferson, for me, I think is a fantastic play. Nick Mullins is a guy who is fighting for his career in the NFL and fighting to stay in it and wants a job, right? So this is a guy we saw in San Francisco have some pretty big games. He's not afraid to get out there and throw the ball around and chuck it. If I were Nick Mullins in this spot, I think the clearest path to having success and proving yourself in the NFL is I'm going to throw the ball to Justin Jefferson. That usually makes quarterbacks look pretty good. I would not be shocked here to see Justin Jefferson get like 8, 10, 12 targets in this one. And if you're going to give me 12 targets to Justin Jefferson at 18% ownership, going to take it all day long. So for me, I like him a lot. I think Jamar Chase is a fantastic play as well. Cortland Sutton, 28% ownership. Yeah, I think he's fine. I'll definitely play him over Jerry Jeudy, who's just been god-awful in that offense. But like we said, man, I think the upside for Sutton is capped. So just be cautious there. You know, you look at the passing game for Denver again. You know, he's going to see 6-7 targets maybe in the game. 15-18 points is what you're going to get. If you need that piece, that's totally fine to go there. But do not, in my opinion, expect 25-30-point breakout game from Cortland Sutton because Denver just won't throw the ball that much. Moving down, man, it seems like the Sims and 25% of the field tends to love Josh Downs. He just has not been doing it lately. It's been the Michael Pittman show. I don't know. I think he could do it and go here. I don't think Pittsburgh's corners are anything special, but not one of my favorite plays. I think if I'm going to go down into this range, you know, George Pickens and Deontay Johnson are probably two guys I would play over Josh Downs here for me. But I think either of those three guys are fine. I just talked about Jerry Jeudy. He's been horrific. Jordan Addison, I think, is totally fine as well. We just talked about Nick Mullins. T. Higgins. Yeah, you could do it if you want to get contrarian. T. Higgins coming at 10% ownership. That's pretty outrageous on a three-game slate. So keep that in mind. Josh Reynolds at 11%, more than T. Higgins. It's wild at 3,600. And then you start going down, man. I think there's some guys down here, you know, no on Marvin Mims for the reasons of Jerry Jeudy. They just do not throw the ball. All these guys are coming in at single digit ownership. Tyler Boyd, KJ Osborne, Khalif Raymond, Jameson Williams, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Calvin Austin. Can't believe I'm even saying it. Allen Robinson. So if you want to take some shots on some of these guys, be my guest. But I just don't think you really have to. I built three lineups, and I think I have maybe one of them in there. I think it's either Khalif Raymond. No, it's Josh Reynolds. I'm sorry. So Josh Reynolds or Jameson Williams, I think, for me down here is where I'm going to punt. Tight end position. Yeah, a lot of people are going to be playing TJ Hockenson. A lot of people are going to be playing Sam Laporta, period. Those are the two highest-owned guys, both great players, both in good situations. Pat Freiermuth at 20. I think he's totally fine to play, obviously. Tanner Hudson, his snap shares continue to go down, but his points per game keep going up. So maybe they should just play this guy more because he's really good. Pretty unfortunate. My guy, Greg Dulcich, Danson Rick got ruled out Saturday. We thought we might see the triumphant return. That's not going to happen. So I think if you're looking at it, no one from Denver really. I mean, I guess if you want to play Troutman, but probably not. Indianapolis has like 7 tight ends if you want to play that. Kylan Granson maybe at 2,600. You could do that. So that's pretty wild if you want to lock in Kylan Granson. But no, man, I think most people see it for what it is. I think it's Laporta, Freiermuth, Hudson. If you want to get different, I don't know how many people are going to be doing 2 tight end builds. But Freiermuth and Hudson, if you're trying to save some money, I think are the safest, obviously. Defense, play whatever. Play the same quarterback or play defense against your quarterback, play it against your stack. Do whatever you want to do. I don't think there's any rules. I don't think there's anything you really have to do. Here, again, we've seen it and we saw it on Thanksgiving where I forget who it was, but the defense against like one of the top stacks was the one that paid off because they had a pick 6 or whatever it was, special teams touchdown. So you can get weird. Fit the defense in for whatever works for your price point. But yeah, man, have some fun on these 3-game slates. I think there's a way to get different very clearly based on just ownership alone. Or you could just go roster construction alone, right? Play two running backs from the same team, play an overstack, but play it with the running back and the tight end, or the second receiver, not the main guy. Overstack the game. There's a lot of ways you can build roster construction to get different on these slates. So have some fun with it. Get crazy. Get wild. Once again, hopefully you enjoyed me just kind of breaking down my thought process on the slate. Please hit that thumbs up. Please subscribe if you haven't already. And good luck on Saturday and happy holidays. Later.